First John chapter 3. We're going to hook where we were last week, sort of. That's a definite sort of. First John 3 says, now are you the sons of God. That's verse 2. Now are you the sons of God. When are you the sons of God?
Now.
Right now. Now, being a son of God makes a definite difference in the way you live. It makes a difference in what you receive. It makes a difference in how you respond. It makes a difference in your explanation and understanding of the word. Now are we the sons of God. Now, we talked about the work of, look at Romans 10, the work that Jesus did that brought us into the kingdom if we receive him by faith. There's a lot said in Romans and in Galatians about receiving by the law, and all of it is to tell you you can't receive by the law, by good behavior, by good works. I mean, I don't know what you think it would take. Perfect attendance, an hour of prayer a day or two, reading your Bible through, like others, three times a year. Does that seem like a mountain to you? Me too. You have the Holy Spirit in this new creature. You're a spirit being living in a physical body, and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he's there to lead you into all truth. He's there to help you to see the righteousness, the reconciliation, the remission that's bought to you and brought to you by the great plan of redemption. Now, redemption, we talked about, means to buy back from the power or authority of another. You don't redeem groceries, although we use that term, because they don't belong to you. Redemption is to buy back something that was yours that you lost custody of. If somebody steals your $1 million dog, do you have one of those?
Yes.
Well, if somebody steals your dog and they send you a note that for $1 million, they will give you your dog back. They want you to redeem that dog. They want you to buy it back. And Jesus came. He created Adam and Eve in the garden. Now look back at Genesis 3. Now are we the sons of God. He created Adam and Eve. And here's the interesting thing. He gives them instructions, and he tells them to choose, and then he tells them what to choose. And I love that. I love that. In chapter 2, he said he planted two trees in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The tree of life, which you can eat freely. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, Adam did eat of that tree at Eve's insistence. So women are in trouble here, right? But Adam lived 930 years, so that day he didn't die. God said, the day you eat, the very day you eat that, you will die. Well, you're a spirit being, and the spirit man took upon the nature of death. And Jesus came to redeem, to buy back, to pay the price, to take sin upon himself so that every single person who would choose could come into the kingdom of God. Now we're the sons of God. Look at Romans 10. I love the word now. Especially if you're hungry. Or you want somebody to do something for you. Have you ever said that to your children, your grandchildren? You get that from me right this minute. That's now. Right now. Well, here's how man came into the kingdom and how the spirit of man who lives in the physical body. Now, when you die, your physical body will be buried in a grave or whatever your family chooses to do with you. But you will never die. Man never dies. The spirit of man is eternal. He's forever and ever and ever. Your body will be reclaimed later and perfected. Is that good news? I'm going to send God a note just in case he's confused. Okay. This is talking about righteousness. Now, righteousness is one of the four biggies that we have through the new birth. We have righteousness, we have remission, we have reconciliation, and we have redemption. It's very nice that in the English they all start with R, not so in other languages. But redemption is when the price is paid for your release, for your freedom. Now, it doesn't come to you automatically. You have to believe that God did redeem you, and you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's not working because you said it. It's working because you believed it when you said it, and in you it becomes like a spring of living water. We used to go every year because we had access to a mountain house, which they sold. And I agreed. They said they need to sell it, so we agreed. That was the worst day of my life. Agreed to sell the mountain house. But we used to go to the waterfalls, and you could see the waterfalls flowing from the top of the mountain, and if you took the path, you could walk underneath the waterfall. You could get very close. See, and you've been redeemed. And you can get very close to where God wanted you just by your faith in what He's done. Close is a lot better. Isn't it? When you sit down at the table, where do you want your plate? Over there? Right here. Now look, verse 6, righteousness which of faith, not by works, not by behavior. You'll never make it by behavior. You probably already figured that out. Righteousness, if faith speaks, righteousness what? It speaks. Righteousness speaks. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? What does it say? It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's how you come into the kingdom, by believing what Jesus has done, by knowing He intended for you to be right with Him. He intended righteousness paid your entire debt. Righteousness means your debt is paid. Now, we've been in our house over 50 years, so obviously it's paid for. And what we found out in the year it was built, they only put 2 nails in the hurricane anchors, and now the law requires 3 nails. And so, to put 3 nails to conform with law and to lower your insurance, you see, we have rules we have to conform with. And God has given them some things to conform with. But here's the good news. On the inside, He's given you a helper to tell you how to conform, what to do, where to go, what to say. Now it says, the word is near you. Well, it's not near you if you didn't read it. In your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Righteousness is that your debt is paid. It's totally paid. It was paid on the cross. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and He is to be, you're to believe that He's the Savior and the risen Lord. And Lord means supreme in authority. Now, years ago, I used to do altar calls quite a bit, and I did altar calls. They had these group of boys from some home. I don't know where they're from. And I said, you came to make Jesus Lord and Master. You came to give Him control of your life. And one little kid in the back said, oh, my gosh. No, he didn't come to give God control. He just came so He wouldn't go to hell. And that was a good move on his part. But it wasn't sufficient for living successfully. To live successfully, we have to know what's done in us, allow what's in us to flow out of us to control and dominate our life. Now, righteousness. The next word is remission. Remission is blotting out. Hebrews said it's put away or canceled. That's the good news. You'll never face your past again. It's over. See, all of this is what happens to you when you confess Jesus as Lord, when you become a son of God. And it says, I'll give you that reference, it's Hebrews 9 something or other. Hebrews 9:26. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice. Now, He wasn't putting away His sin because He didn't have any. He's putting away yours. And don't let the devil bring it back up. Forget it. It's been put away. It's been canceled. Now, in the Old Testament, they used the blood of bulls and goats. But you'll see in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says the blood of bulls and goats could not... Where is that verse? You see, old people need their glasses. I guess that's what that means. The blood of bulls and goats could not put away sin. They only covered. You know the difference in covering and put away. Now, if I had a pair of gloves, which, who has gloves anymore? Do y'all still have your old gloves? I save mine just in case. I mean, I don't know in case of what. And when you put your glove on, you still have an awareness that your hand's under there. But when you put Jesus on, the awareness of sin dissipates, ceases to be, because He took your sin, He put them away, He canceled them. Oh, hallelujah for that. Now, that was Hebrews. No wonder I didn't see it. That was, I'm in Romans. I'll give you that reference. Hebrews 10:3. In these sacrifices, there's a remembrance again of sin every year, for it's not possible. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So who took away sin? Jesus Himself. How does He take away your sin? How does He blot out your account? I don't know what you do. I'm kind of part sarcasm. I can be that because I'm from Auburndale, you know. And sometimes I do something, I think, oh, I don't know why I did that, don't know why I did that, don't know why I did that. And I say, now, Lord, do not write that down. Do not write that down. In Isaiah it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They'd be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Now, I don't live in snow country. I've never been in snow country. We've been in Moscow several times to teach. And that's the only snow I've ever seen. And we're standing out on the street corner, thumbing a ride because nobody has a vehicle. Only 33% of the people at that juncture had cars. And so our interpreter is helping us thumb a ride to our next destination. It's quite exciting. And since I don't speak Russian, she's negotiating. But see, you don't have to thumb a ride. You have transportation, and it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's your transportation, so that your sins are remitted, so that your debt is completely paid, and so that you're reconciled to God. Now, reconciled is a funny word. Look at, where would that be? 2 Corinthians, maybe? 5? Reconciled. If you have a difficult marriage and you call in a counselor, and what he's going to do or she's going to do is get the husband to change some things and the wife to change some things, and it's going to be change on both ends. He's in the middle to tell you, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to quit doing this, and you need to quit doing that, and bringing both things together. When we were reconciled to God, it was only by one party. It was just you that needed to be reconciled. God didn't need to be reconciled. He's perfect. He's reconciling you, and he's urging you to come. The Vine's Dictionary says to come from an enemy to a friend. Sin made you distant from God. That's what that means. Huh. But Jesus brought you near.
Yes, amen.
See, all of that's incorporated when we say, now are we the sons of God. Right now I'm a son of God. Right now I'm a son of God because my sins have been blotted out. I've been redeemed. My debt is paid. My debt's totally paid. Well, I know, well, maybe y'all had grew up with money, but we didn't grow up with any. And we didn't get married with any money. Wayne had a car. He was military. And I got the car. But it wasn't the car I wanted. I wanted Wayne. And had I had Wayne, I would have had the car. I don't want the car without Wayne. I don't want the truth without action. You see that? So, here's 2 Corinthians, verse 18, chapter 5. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. When you're reconciled and you know you're reconciled, that means God is your friend and you're his son and you're in the kingdom. Then all is at peace. God was in Christ reconciling the world. It was Christ's blood that redeemed you. It was Christ's blood that blotted out sin. It was Christ himself that reconciled or brought you back into friendship and relationship with God. Reconciled. Now it says in, let's look at Colossians 1:20, see what it says there. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by Jesus to reconcile, that's verse 20, chapter 1, by Jesus to reconcile all things, all things. What was God's will? Who did he want reconciled?
Everybody.
For God so loved the world.
Amen.
He reconciled all things. In other words, their debt's paid if they'll receive that. Well, there's not any problem with that. If you called and said, I just paid your electric bill, I'm not going to battle with you. I'll say, oh, thank you. That's really nice of you. Your debt is paid, and now are you a son of God? Right now, this minute, you're a son of God. Now look at Romans 8. I'm getting to my point. This is, we're going to California through New York. That's just important. Hallelujah, thine the glory. What did I tell you to turn to? I've already forgotten.
Romans 8.
Okay. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not we will be, we are.
Yeah.
We are the children of God. Children, then what?
Heirs.
You said word heirs? Now, Cumbies have always had land since 1850. They've been here in various land masses, mostly over off of Cumbie Road. You know where there's Cumbie Road, Morgan Cumbie Road, Cumbie Lane, Hardin Cumbie Road, you know, over there where we all live. But the property didn't come to us till Wayne's father and mother were dead, until they were in heaven. And to be an heir, somebody has to die. To be reconciled, somebody has to die. To be redeemed, somebody has to die. To be have sins remitted, somebody has to die. Now, heir is the blessings and the benefits of Jesus' death. Jesus is the one who died and brought you into the kingdom that made you a son of God. Now are you a son of God. The Spirit bears witness, we are, not we will be, we are. Children of God. Now, son of God is just generic, that son, that's men, women, children. You just have to let the King James reign, and actually in today's economy, if it rains, you'd be better off. You can say I said that. If children, then heirs. Now, heir is your inheritance. What came with salvation? What came with your sonship? What came with your sonship? What did you get with the deal? Wayne got acreage. His older brother and his younger brother got acreage. His sister got acreage. And two of the houses are built on that land. But somebody had to die. Now, here's my point. Wayne's dad was almost 89, so that's okay. You understand, nobody lives forever. Somebody had to die for you to be an heir. Now, lest that confuse you, when you go over to Hebrews, it says, the testator, that's the person that wrote the will, said, when the testator died, and then it said, oh yeah, he died, but he rose. Now, I was raised in a denominational church. I didn't know anything about resurrection except we saw that drama every Easter. You know, you had this drama in the tomb, and Jesus came out of the tomb. And I thought he'd been maybe sitting there for 3 days. I mean, who knows? I'm just a kid. What do I know? All I knew was the cross. But from the cross, there was the payment to be made. But the payment was made. He died. The payment's made. The heirship, all that came with the sonship, is now yours. Now, look at Ephesians 1. You know, if you inherited something, you'd want to know what it was, wouldn't you? I mean, I would. I think I told you about the little lady that was maid to the same big household for years and years and years and years. And when the lady died, she had no heirs. And so she willed her entire estate, which was very vast, to the little maid. But the little maid couldn't read. And so she lived in this kind of cardboard box in this side of town. And one day, her pastor, she was a fine lady, her pastor came to see about her because they hadn't seen her and she had been ill. And he saw that certificate. She had it framed and put on her wall that said she owned the estate, but she couldn't read, so she didn't know what it said. So you need to know, what did you inherit? You're a son. A son has an inheritance. What was it? Well, he told her what it was. He helped her get it, and she didn't live very long after that, so she didn't get the full benefit of it. See, and you can live and die without the full benefit of what's paid for you. You can live and die, never walk in what's already yours, what's been yours since the day you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's been yours. But you have to know that it's yours. You have to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and guide you and lead you in the right direction. You have to follow that direction, and you have to believe it and say it. No, we don't have any trouble. People don't like that. You're not going to have any trouble saying if you have a favorite football team. We have football people in our family. Oh. And I watch about 5 minutes so I can say, oh, I saw that. Oh, I am not a sports fan. I will never be a sports fan. I don't like sports at all. But they love that. And when you say, hey, did you see the game I saw on the news? It was a big game. Oh, it was. You don't have any trouble getting them to speak up. I mean, they talking. You having trouble getting them to shut up. I said, I saw that. Yeah, I knew that. Uh-huh. And they won. Uh-huh. Well, that was great. That was great. What about, you're trying to change the subject, see? If you have a favorite recipe, You won't have any trouble. Say, oh, my mama used to bake that. I love that recipe. That was the best recipe. I've got it in my file. I hadn't thought of it in a long time. I'm going to go home and get out my file and buy my ingredients. That was a wonder. Have you ever had that recipe? That was a great recipe. Has your mama ever made that? Have you ever tasted that? See, if you believe something you speak, you don't have any trouble speaking unless you're insecure, unless you're not certain. But it is written, and it is written so we're sure. Now, it says in verse 3 of chapter 1, here's the inheritance. Here's what belongs to you. Here's what's yours by your faith. Faith speaks. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Who has blessed us with what?
All.
How many blessings?
All.
If God's got it,
we got it.
You've got it. Because it says you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. We were joint heirs. So if it's Jesus's, it's yours. And it says all spiritual blessing. Now for the people who insist spiritual blessing doesn't include healing, you need to go to Revelation where it says there's no disease in heaven. So it certainly includes freedom from disease. All spiritual blessing. Do you ever have to talk to yourself? I mean, your toe hurts, your knee hurts, your vision is blurry for some odd reason, or you have a headache, and you just have to, I have to talk to myself. I say, oh, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. He sent his word and healed me. No weapon formed against me prospers. This word believes. I believe it. God works it. Every word he says comes true to me. He watches over his word to perform it. I have to say it over and over and over and over again because I believe that. And I'm shoring up my belief. You ever had to shore up anything? Like we have a sunflower tree. Have you ever seen those? You see them in town. Now, not a sunflower plant, a sunflower tree. Everybody know the sunflower tree? It looks like a sunflower on a tall tree. It is a tree. Okay. You just keep looking. They're all over town. Are they not? Yeah, they are. When the wind blew the other day, and they are not native to Florida, and they grow straight up in the air. And the wind blew, and it blew most of it to the ground. Well, then Wayne can't mow because sunflower trees are on the ground. So Wayne does what Wayne would do. He took his clippers. Because most of the branches, and they're very tall, and they're laying on the ground. And it's an invasive plant. You know, here a tree. Oh, now here a tree. Oh, now here a tree. And that's the way the blessings of God are. Here a blessing, there a blessing, everywhere a blessing, blessing. When you are blessed with every spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, then get your mouth working. Keep saying, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. You know, when you fix, I don't know what you do, but we have certain products that have to be on the table. We're very heavy users of a specific barbecue sauce, two kinds, actually. Did I tell you I was raised in Auburndale? Do you know what kind of barbecue sauce comes from Auburndale? Huh? What's wrong with y'all today? Peebles barbecue sauce. And then we buy another brand, which we actually like. And now you can buy it in Lake, and used to you couldn't buy it here. And you have to have the salt and pepper. And if you're eating with me, you have to have the yellow mustard. If I don't have yellow mustard, I'm going to the refrigerator. I'm going to search for the yellow mustard. But if I have a promise, I'm searching. Where's my promise? Where's that scripture? Because I'm an heir. And if it's in here, it belongs to me. Now, what does the 106th Psalm say? Verse 1. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. Now, when's the last time you had a wonderful case of the flu? Oh, that was great. I got to stay in bed. I didn't have to eat anything. I didn't have to go to the kitchen. I didn't have to watch my children. I gave it all to my children, and they got to stay in bed. It was great. We had a wonderful... Disease is never good. It's never fun. It's evil and corrupt. And when he said the Lord is good, that means if it came from the Lord, it's good. If it didn't come from the Lord, use your mouth and get rid of it. So you can't stay here in this temple. So did you know I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you know I'm a son of God? Do you know I'm heir of God? Do you know the blessings of heaven belong to me? Every blessing, that includes healing, includes health. You know what health is? I don't sleep at night. That's not good news. And the other night I was sleeping, thinking about the difference in healing and health. You know the difference in healing and health? Healing's when you get sick, but you get well. But health is when you don't ever get sick. And I was thinking about that, and I heard in the spirit, health is life without a Band-Aid. Do you get that? It's life without a Band-Aid. Because you're well, you're healed, you're whole, and you don't need a Band-Aid. And that's God's will for you, that you go from healing to health, that you don't get sick and well, sick and well. Well, sick and well is a good thing. If you're sick, you want to get well. Well is paid for. You're an heir. You're a son of God. You're an heir. You have a right to everything that God has because you're an heir. And it says you're a joint heir with Jesus. And Hebrews 1 says the world belongs to Him. Well, if the world belongs to Him, you have quite a large inheritance. And I don't even want the whole world, do you? Now, what is merciful? Sickness is merciful? See the little man at the hospital? Wayne and I went to check on him some years ago. And he said, the Lord made him sick because he was capable of winning the person in the bed next to him to the Lord. He said, the Lord did this because He could use me here to win this man to the Lord. Do you believe that?
No.
Absolutely not. The Lord doesn't make anybody sick. Some people are hard to deal with. And the little lady we visited, I know she doesn't know healing. She doesn't know beans about healing. She doesn't. I know she doesn't know beans about healing. I gave her my kindergarten explanation, and she said, oh, I know that. I'm sure of that. That's why I'm struggling so to live, because He's my healer, and if He wants me well, He'll do it. And then, you know, she didn't know the healer at all. She did not know she was an heir. She didn't know she was a son of God, an heir to every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything that's good and merciful comes with a spiritual blessing. My grandmother used to say, oh, goodness gracious. Have mercy. She was about this big. And that's what she said. Now, when you went to visit great-granny, we come from a very legalistic family, so when she became a great-grandmother, she came from granny to great-granny. Y'all might not have lived by the letter of the law, but we did. And then and the church made up the law, too. It wasn't all in the scripture. They made things up. Well, she wanted one day, and you understand being so small, her feet were about... We used to get clothes for her in the children's department. That's the truth. And she wanted me to have her slippers. She wanted me to be blessed with everything that she had, and somebody had given her a new pair of slippers. And I said, Granny, I can't wear those. You know, they're too small for me. And she said, oh, but you must wear those. I haven't worn them. She said, I haven't worn them. They're new. I said, I know they're new. I can see they're new, and they'll be a real blessing to you, but they're not my size. But every spiritual blessing in heaven places belongs to you, and it's your size if you'll put it on. You know how to put it on? With your mouth. I love it when I'm thinking a thought and somebody interrupts me. Thinking. Then my mouth really, see, if it's negative, your mouth speaks right up. I say, I'm busy right now. Come back to me with that later. You don't have any trouble speaking and defending yourself and saying the wrong thing, do you? How about let's say the right thing? Now, look at Ephesians 3. I'm going to show you the magnitude of your inheritance. Verse 20. Now to him that's able. Now that bothers people. They said, yeah, he's able, but sometimes he doesn't. Oh, give me a break. Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Now who keeps the power working in you? You with your mouth. Now it says he's going to do exceeding abundantly above. Now watch this. If I need $100... A lady told me this. I never thought of it myself. Years ago, she told me when she asked God for $100, He almost always sent her $125. Well, I never thought about that. If I asked for $100, I'd just be looking for $100. She said, oh, no. See, God wants her to give our tithe. And if I give my tithe, then I only have $90, and then I'm short. Then I don't have all the money I need. And she said, God knows that. And He always gives me more than I ask for so I can be generous with the kingdom. Had you ever thought of that? You like me, you were expecting $100 you asked for. But it says he does exceeding abundantly above. So he does above all. So if he does above all, above what you asked for, he's going to send the 125 or the 150. But it doesn't say that. It says he exceeds abundantly above. He does abundantly above what you asked for. So you asked for 100, he's probably going to send 250. That's what it says. Do you not believe the word? And then it says, he exceeds, I don't know how big that was, exceeds abundantly above. I mean, I'd be so happy with above, wouldn't you? Thinking, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, I got my 100, I got my 25, I can give generously to the Lord's house. But if he did abundantly above, and then if he exceeded abundantly above, I mean, my toe that hurt that I didn't even ask him to heal got healed in the deal. Now, Wayne's family is full of little people. And Aunt Hula called one day. She's with the Lord. Everybody, we're the old people now in our family. That's just the way it is. She called, and Dr. Hagen was in Winter Haven, and she wanted to hear him, and she wanted to know, would we take her? And we said, certainly. Well, Aunt Hula was facing heart surgery, and that's why she wanted to go. And she was just 90% deaf. So I told the usher, can you put her where she can hear? He said, oh, yes, ma'am. He said, I will find her a seat under the speakers. And so it was a big speaker sitting in front of her. She was kind of behind the big speaker. He said, now, there won't be room for you there. Can she sit by herself? I said, oh, absolutely. And I said, Aunt Eula, don't you try to find us when this service ends. We will find you. You sit right here and don't you move. She said, okay. So she listened. She thought it was a good service. We took her home. And right after that was Thanksgiving. And she called me at Thanksgiving. And she said, I can't stand it. My family's so loud. Well, I didn't put it together. I said, well, you love your family. She said, yeah, and they're noisy. And some of them had come from way out of town, you understand. And I said, well, have you had your lunch? Yeah, she said. I said, I tell you what, let's tell them you need to take a little nap and you go to your room and close the door and, you know, bury your head in the pillow if you have to and have a few moments of quiet. And then it dawned on me, while she was sitting there to get her heart healed, Almighty God, who does exceeding abundantly above, healed her ears, and she could hear for the first time, and she didn't like it. Because they are too loud. Do you know they'd always been that loud?
Yeah.
They'd always been that loud. So you have to watch your mouth. Now, she had to have her heart surgery, and she told me that somebody told her that after heart surgery, for 3 days, you would be rip-roaring crazy. And you couldn't talk her out of that. Somebody she trusted had said, the first 3 days after heart surgery, you will be crazy and a bed bug. And so, the first day, the hospital called her daughter and said, can the family take turns sitting with your mother? Said, she's just not in her right mind. We need her to be constantly supervised. We can't trust her. And I said, don't give it another thought. It'll only take 3 days. And she'll be back. And that's exactly what happened. Because you have a vast inheritance, and you get that inheritance by what you say. By what you say. Okay. Exceeding abundantly above. Now look at James 1:17. I'm just talking to you about you're a son. You've been redeemed. Your sins have been blotted out or remitted. You've been reconciled. You're a friend of God. And you're the righteousness of God, which means you're fully acceptable to God, and it's because of Jesus' blood that you are. Fully acceptable. And then, I didn't turn to my script. James 1:17. You know James 1:17. Most people know James. Where is James? Hebrews. James 1. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, when's the last time disease was good or perfect? You didn't ever have that wonderful case of the flu? Me either. I had a few cases, but they weren't wonderful. Every good and every perfect gift. Well, is disease perfect?
No.
If it's not perfect, it's not God. If it's not good, it's not God. That's what God says comes from above, from the Father of lights. Well, would you put disease in the dark or in the light?
Dark.
It's always in the dark. And here we are with God's mercy, and disease is never merciful, so it doesn't come from God. And with God's goodness, and disease is never good, so it doesn't come from God. And disease is always in the dark, but God is light. And all we have to do is to begin to talk Jesus. We were overseas, and family wanted us to come to eat with them, and they had, Grandma came and took the little girl and took her on a long walk while we were there because she had some mental issues, and they wanted to talk to us privately. Well, see, God works things out. If you trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You couldn't make any noise when she was around. Well, after a while, we were still sitting at the table, and I'm on the back side of the table. She came through this door, and I'm over here. And she came all the way around and sat in my lap, which she never does, never has done, never does. And her mother started to correct her and move her. I said, no, no, no. So you can't touch her. This is my chance. See, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. And that was good and perfect for her. That's what she needed. And so after a while, she got up and left. And then they told me after we came back to the States that they had construction going next door, building a house or something. And she freaks out, the noise. And said, now she's just watching. Because what God does, see, that family were heirs. Little girl probably was never capable of really receiving Jesus, but she will be in heaven. But that family was an heir. And when we claim what belongs to them, it's their right for that child to be normal. And when we make that claim, Almighty God. Now look at Romans 15. I'm just talking to you, just twisting your arm. Is it working? Disease is not good. It's not merciful. It's not God. It's not in the light. And that's Romans 15, somewhere it is. Verse 13, the God of hope. Hope is a part of your inheritance. Hope is the confident expectation of blessing. Hope expects things to work out. And hope is the foundation of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope and faith work together, and you've got to have a moat to make this work. If you don't have hope, then you don't have a goal. You don't have an explanation. You don't have anything you're looking for. And it says he's the God of hope. And then it says, this one of my kitchen ants came to church today. I don't know if you have any kitchen ants, but we're having a drama in our kitchen. The God of hope, fill you, fill you, fill you, fill, fill. You've ever eaten something and you were full? Did you do that? Wayne's family, well, they're all the elders are gone, so Wayne's older brother's still living, his older sister, but that other layer of people, they're all in heaven. Thank God for that. And the God of hope, fill you. At Thanksgiving, you can die at their table. I mean, this is a farmer. They're professional farmers. And we had the green beans and the okra and the seven-layer salad and chicken and dressing because Wayne's mama does not like turkey. And we had mashed potatoes and we have macaroni and cheese and we had 10 desserts. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And then Wayne's little mama, short. You think of our family, just think short. On both sides. Wayne's little mama would stand on the doorstep and she'd say, y'all come back for supper. And I'd say, Wayne Cumby, if you commit me for supper, I'm going to have a word to say. And it won't be nice. See, we don't have any problem speaking bad words, ugly words. That made me so mad. I can't believe she said that. I don't know who she thinks she's talking to. You did that right. So I said, sometimes he'd go back. Not me. I said, I am not going back. Well, Wayne's mother was a people person, and she was an excellent cook. And a farm family, you know, they always have plenty of food. So when we got to the table one year, there was no seats left. Here's this lady, she's divorced. No, I think her husband had died, and she brought her son. And here's these two widows from their church. And here's this man who didn't have any family in town, and there wasn't a seat left. You're listening to me, aren't you? See, when God begins to work, there's not a single thing left that you need. It's over. It's done. You've got it. Now it says, God of hope, fill you with joy. Well, I never had a sickness that made me real happy. Fill you with joy. Fill you with what?
Joy.
So I should check. You know that thing on your car? I don't drive. You that thing on the car tells you how much gas you have? And Wayne will mention it two or three days in a row. He'll say, you know, I really got to stop and fill gas. I said, okay. And then the next afternoon he'll say, you know, I never did stop. I should probably stop and fill gas. And finally I said, Wayne, come here. Pull in the station. And that's what God says to you. Sometimes he says, do you mind? Would you pull in, please? Pull into the word and begin to speak the word. And here's your gauge. This is your gauge. You have that gauge in your car? Well, our car beeps about everything. Do you have one of those cars? It beeps if you go over the yellow line. It beeps if you forgot to do your seatbelt. It beeps if you almost ran into a bush. It beeps if you're fixing to go over a curb. I mean, it beeps constantly. Don't make God have to keep beeping at you. Beep, 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 beep. So I was with Suzanne. Her car doesn't beep. Be sure that's the first thing, because I'm not a shopper. I don't care about the motor. I don't know what's in the motor. I don't care about the motor. What I want to know is, does it beep? That's very important if you're driving with us. Does it beep? And her car doesn't beep. So I got in. I didn't do my seatbelt, which is not unusual for me. And she's sitting there going, beep, 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 beep. Sickness is not joyful. And God will come to you over and over again. Believe, believe, believe and say, believe and say, believe and say, believe and say. And then it says, peace. You ever had disease that brought you such great... Oh, I'm so glad I had that. That was amazing. The other night, 2 weeks ago, 10:30, man knocked on the door. We have outside alarms so we can see you. You will not sneak up on me. I know you're out there. He knocked on the door, and Wayne went to the door, and I'm saying, don't you answer that door. We don't know who he is. And Wayne opens the door. And they talk, and he closes the door. He said, he would like to do some yard work. I said, it's 10:30 p.m. He wants to do the yard work. He said, I just told him we weren't doing it right now. And that's what we do with God. We say, well, he's just not healing right now. He's not doing it right now. God said, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You are healed now. And if your body says you're not healed, you rebuke it. You said, let's do something, Becky Cumby. I speak to myself. I can't speak to you because I have to be nice to you. I don't have to be nice to me. I said, let me tell you something, Becky Cumby. You are healed. Well, you just come from the doctor and he says you are sick. And they give you a prescription that looks like the national debt. Did you have that prescription? And the pharmacist called and said, Mrs. Cumby, this prescription is $2,000. I wasn't even expecting a prescription. I said, what's it for? And I said, oh, never mind, never mind. It doesn't matter what it's for, I don't want it. And then I told my doctor, you know, I'm going to have to pray about this. And he goes, don't disagree with God. You got that? You got all that? You going to get your mouth working?